We get to sing these songs about Christ and his work on behalf of believers at the cross. And then we love to take time during our service on Sunday mornings to remember the cross at the Lord's table. This is that time in our service where we do that. And we'd like to open God's Word, and we'd love for you to be able to see it with your own eyes. So if you don't have a Bible, it'd be great for you to just slip your hand up, and a couple of men will come down the aisles and put a print Bible in your hands. And if you don't own a Bible, that's yours to keep. It's our gift to you. We would love for you to be able to read God's Word for yourself. When we come to the Lord's table, we participate together with some symbols. There is some broken bread, and there is some juice from the vine in a cup. Now, these elements of the Lord's table are not meritorious. They are memorial. And what we mean by that is when you eat this bread and you drink this juice, it does nothing for you in any kind of mechanical sense before God. You don't do this as a procedure to get favor with God. You don't do this on a Sunday morning to sort of make up for what you've done that contravened God's will throughout the week. These elements are memorial elements. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And the point is, the meritorious work for our sin was done by Christ. We don't do any meritorious things. All we could bring to the table is filthy hands, a defiled conscience, dirty deeds. What Jesus Christ brings to the table is his own blood, which cleanses us from these things. And so week after week, we have this sort of check for our lives. Oh, yes, Jesus died to pay for my sins. He died in my place. Our scripture readings on Sunday mornings is taking us through the book of Galatians verse by verse. I want you to turn to the book of Galatians in chapter 4. What is this gospel that saved Paul? What is this gospel, this good news that Paul proclaimed, this good news that Paul suffered for? We have a summary statement of this good news in Galatians chapter 4, and I'll read to you verses 4 through 7. Paul writes there, "When the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, so that he might redeem those who were under law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through God." This text is wonderful news. You see, substitution leads to justification, and justification leads to adoption. Substitution is bound up in this idea that God sent his Son. That is, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, took on human flesh, lived among us, never sinned, and went to the cross to die in our place. He was a substitute. That is the death we should have died under the wrath of God against our sin. And he died our death for us. That's substitution. And then Paul tells us that this was for our justification. That is, God declares the sinner to be righteous, counting our sins against Christ at the cross and counting Christ's righteousness to our account. This is by grace. This only comes by faith. And this substitution leading to justification brings us into a state of adoption. Listen, we were born in the wrong family, antagonistic to God, and God brought us in by his love. And if you are in by the blood of Christ, you belong to him as a son or a daughter by adopting love, and you are forever an heir. Can't undo that relationship. What God does by His love cannot be undone by our sin. And listen, Christians, we're here. We're not in heaven, and so we still sin, even though we're no longer slaves. Even though we are loved by God and forgiven of every sin, past, present, and future, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are secured by the blood of Christ and will never be condemned. And yet we experience in real life, oh, I didn't live up this week to what God would have for me. And God has provided this memorial, to look back at the death of Christ, to look forward to the return of Christ, and in between those things, to embrace and rejoice in the forgiveness of Christ. And think about it, Christian, if you had only sinned up until the point that you became a believer, and then you got forgiven and were somehow perfected and never sinned again, I think we would have a smaller view in our lives here of the cross work of Christ. But listen, what you mean for evil, allow God to turn for good. When we sin, we come to this check at the Lord's table. Lord, I need to examine my heart. There are things I must confess to you. If he who says he has no sin is a liar, 1 John 1:7 and 8. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so your task, believer, is to think about your life. Think about your sin. Call it what God calls it, but bring it to the table. Sit under the shadow of the cross all over again. It means to come and embrace the reality that Jesus Christ paid for with his own blood all of those sins to bring us to God. Your task, believer, is to make plans to restore relationships, make plans for real life repentance that endures. And your task here right now, as we remember the Lord's death in our place, is to remember what he purchased, our justification, our adoption. If you have not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, this memorial table is not for you. We pray that it would be for you. We pray that you would hear the gospel, hear the love of God and the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, his provision of forgiveness once and for all time for all of your crimes against heaven and your adoption into his family. We pray that you would hear that and believe that. And then the memorial table would be for you, even today if you surrender. But if you know you're not forgiven and you haven't surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, just let these things go by and think about your life. Think about your life apart from God. Think about your life piling up guilt and regret on a pathway that ends to eternal destruction. And think again about Christ and what God did to save sinners like me and like you. The men are going to come down, and they're going to begin to distribute the cup and the juice. You guys can come down. And I want you to hold on to the cup. There are two parts of it, and they're kind of sandwiched together. Hold on to those for just a moment. We're going to take them together. You don't have to be a member of Grace Bible Church to participate in the Lord's table, but you need to be a believer in the gospel. You need to belong to Jesus. So there will be a few moments of perhaps awkward silence. This is intended for you in prayer to go before the Lord. Confess what you know, believe in the cross, and he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Again, if you're not surrendered to Jesus Christ, use these moments of silence to contemplate who you are without him and contemplate who he is in his intention to save sinners. Go to the Lord.